Welcome to Disrupt Disruption, a series of intimate interviews with global thought leaders and practitioners operating at the intersection of business, leadership, and technology. We're discussing all things innovation and disruption and how to not only survive but thrive in these times of exponentially accelerating change. Trusted by CEOs, founders, and leaders globally for the latest take on business models, methods, culture, and leadership, we cut to the chase, debunk the hype, and get real. You're in great company. I'm your host, Pascal Finette, co-founder of Be Radical. Hey, everybody, this is Pascal, another episode of Disrupt Disruption, today with Dave Goldblatt, the general partner at Vibe Capital, a former startup founder and a longtime and early Facebook employee, has done a lot of work in the tech space, a lot of work in the disruption space, clearly as a Facebook employee from the early days. I'm super stoked to be talking about innovation, disruption, and a little bit of crypto with you, Dave, today. So welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. Let's do it.
Perfect. First question, always the same. I love to understand how you even conceptualize, think about disruption. What is your frame of reference here? How do you define it?
Yeah, I think disruption is an upending of traditional power structure. There are traditional power structures that exist in lots of different forms, across many spectrums, across many groups and communities. If there is a way to disrupt from a very micro level, even as an individual, when you're thinking about what is the power structure of my thoughts, to the very macro level of how do we disrupt the global economy, say, using crypto? Any upending of traditional power structure, to me, is disruptive.
You already brought a point, and I'm sorry I have to pound on this because I'm just so curious, and we haven't
had a chance. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. We haven't had a chance to talk about crypto on this podcast series. Let's dig into it. So clearly, crypto has massive disruptive potential. Probably as a starting point, I believe most people by now have some vague understanding of crypto, quote unquote. Can you give us a quick overview of how do we need to think about the space as a practitioner?
Yeah. And from a very, very basic level, it starts with the Byzantine generals problem, which hopefully people have a sense of understanding. Satoshi Nakamoto solved the issue of, hey, I want to coordinate trust amongst a group of people, but I want to do it without having a centralized entity. So at any point in scale, when you're trying to coordinate trust, usually along wealth accrual or value transfer lines, you need to have some sort of centralized bank or church or government that helps you scale this trust. I put my full faith and trust in the United States government. I give my charity to the Catholic Church in the 1500s, and they're the person who deems this is worthy or not worthy. If you no longer have the grouping of coordination with a large centralized entity, and you can now coordinate across lots of different small communities, this allows basically everyone to have a voice. And another way of thinking about it is you now have a more perfect market where the sample size of coordinating value accrual and wealth transfer and trust limited in a choke point by a government. You know, obviously the United States government is much bigger than, say, the Catholic Church in the 1500s, but now everybody is participating and you have this massive N, this massive amount of participants, and there's an undifferentiated or uncontrolled set of communities that can emerge because they are no longer constricted by pretty much anything. Everything moves at the speed of light or the speed of blockchain. And with even layer two scaling solutions, of which I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with, it's not every 10 minutes there's a block being produced. It's everything is almost instant. So I went pretty high level there, but the end state is that any community now has the power of a large organization. They no longer are choked by a centralized entity like a media corporation or a government.
I think as a media corporation, probably a government, but as a large entity, how do you think about this? How do you participate or not?
So we actually talked about this you know, to give a little inside baseball to your listeners, we talked about this before we started the podcast. We agreed that people, every organization, every community, every power structure, the constituent component is individuals. And individuals have a tendency to, brains are lazy. I'm not sure how much work you've done in terms of understanding human brains and the way that thoughts work. And there's something to be said for Buddhist understanding of brains and, you know, mindfulness. But people have their identities attached to the way that the world works. And if you threaten the way that their world works, there's a natural human reaction of, this is unsafe, I'm going to push back. Even if they're presented with facts and logic and statistics and all that. And most people, unfortunately, don't have an understanding consciously of when they are having this emotional pushback to, this is not the way the world works. When I, you know, that I, my conception of the world works, I feel scared. I'm going to push back against this. So it starts off with an individual human, and I'm not suggesting that every company bring in a team of therapists to get people to talk about their feelings, but being vulnerable to, hey, I could be totally wrong. My business model might be totally fucked. That's part of business. That's part of life. The world changes. Starting from those first principles, the beginner's mindset, hey, we need to approach this as, maybe we're 100% wrong and this other perspective is 100% right. Let's work backwards from there, from first principles, and reach a conclusion and know that, like, hey, we've reached the position that we are because we have some competence. We can navigate this, as opposed to sticking your head in the sand, pushing back against it. That's how you turn into a blockbuster and you wind up. It's hubris, essentially. And to be totally honest, the more vulnerable and open you are to quote unquote disruption, the better your business is going to do 99% of the time. So it starts internally in yourself. There's something to be said for organizing and catalyzing people around a shared vulnerability. In my view, it starts with those first principles of, hey, we could be totally wrong. And that's fine. It doesn't say anything about me as being a bad person.
A lot of people I talk to who are not in the crypto space right now, business leaders, they say, oh, yeah, I get it. It's about like replacing fiat currency with something different. But that's a very narrow viewpoint of what crypto can do. I'm pretty sure you would agree. I'm curious, thinking about this in practical terms with the business leaders, how do you get them to think about this? How do you think about the space and the opportunity? If you were to drill down into the practicalities of how do I need to think about it? What do I need to do today? To your point, probably challenge my held worldview, of which I might not be even aware of.
Yeah. So the interesting, cool thing about crypto and cryptocurrencies and these cryptographic primitives is it is a very, interestingly, I went to a small liberal arts college, which I didn't study computer science. So I'm very cross-functional in terms of I took history classes and art classes and music classes and the blending of all those things. And I actually find that crypto is a cross-pollination of all these things, and there are many, many ways to go about understanding it, which makes it more approachable and also less approachable. And to speak to, besides just disrupting fiat currency, from a very basic point of view, we talked about in the beginning, it takes away these centralized choke points of trust. I think, what was the Jeff Bezos quote? You know, your margin is my opportunity. That is, imagine if everybody had the power of a mini Jeff Bezos, where your centralized choke point is my opportunity to create a community around any narrative that exists on the internet. So what the number one podcast that I give to people in terms of understanding the impact of crypto is, there's this podcast called The Bankless Podcast, and they had a VC, former history professor, current VC. He has a PhD in, I believe, European history. His name is Joshua Rosenthal. And he talks about, and I cribbed a lot of this, and I talked with him and worked with him to bring this to my thesis. The European Reformation was caused by not just the printing press, which had the the narrative ability of everybody can now produce their own narrative, but also had this double entry bookkeeping as a technology, which allowed this great wealth transfer and the rise of this Medici merchant class. We're seeing a very strong parallel right now where the internet is the narrative propagation layer, as you can see by memes sort of taking over the world. And crypto is the wealth propagation layer where now it's not just double entry bookkeeping, which was co-opted by centralized entities, but now triple entry bookkeeping on blockchains, which is used by every single person. So as you think of, I'm in the music business, I'm creating dishwashers business, I'm a media corporation. Any point at which a person who is involved in your ecosystem feels that they are not deriving value or they are creating value and they are not being rewarded in kind, they can now utilize technologies that exist. Maybe right now it's not very hard, but in the future it will not be very hard. They can now utilize technologies to create their own narrative, wealth transfer, and hopefully we'll talk about in the future, like product, to essentially have their own communities and their own individual. It's like a mass individualization, a mass pushing to the edges, a decentralization of pretty much everything. So if you're a company that builds anything and you're not satisfying a particular community, a particular niche community, they will organize around a narrative on the internet. They will figure out a way to accrue value and wealth and push it to the people who are actually generating wealth and value. And they will, using 3D printing or some sort of narrative propagation technologies, create that product. That is to be as seamless as possible. That is still 10 years out, but there will be, for the most part, pretty much every community, every sub niche will have their own company that satisfies their needs 100% fully. It's like Burger King, you know, you can have it your way.
But it is not Burger King, right? Is that the end of the big corporation? Like the big company, the conglomerates. And it's funny because you worked at Facebook, right? Which, by, at least right. In internet standards, is one of the biggest companies.
So I don't think it's the end. My view, I could be totally wrong here. It's not a, you take out 10% here and you push it over here. I think what this winds up doing is the pie just gets about 100,000 times bigger. Where one of my favorite stories, my favorite business stories, I forget the name of the person, but Prego hired this guy in the 80s to find out, and you know, stop me if you've heard this before, what is the single best pasta sauce, tomato sauce flavor? And he does like years long study, and it's like too sweet, not sweet enough, more chunky, less chunky, spicy, whatever. And he comes to find out there isn't one best pasta sauce flavor. Mm. There are multiple segments of the population. One is chunky, one is sweet, one is spicy. So they went from just one pasta sauce flavor to now they have three. Mm. So I think that there's a, for humans are so dynamic, 8 billion of us now. Mm. And besides there being 8 billion individual humans, I would say each individual human has lots of different identities within themselves. And throughout the course of a person's life, you wind up having lots of different, you just had a kid, I don't have the time to deal with this, or I'm leaving for college and I want to, you know, explore and be more decentralized. I think it's just, it's more options. It's everyone wins for the most part. Unless you are not satisfying niche very strongly. So I wouldn't say that not everybody wants to participate in a fully decentralized wealth accrual goes to X, Y, and Z. There is something to be said for a trade-off between ease of use. Maybe some people don't mind sacrificing their privacy. I don't think fiat currency goes away. I just think it just serves a different use case. So hopefully that made sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if I were to come to you, I'm like, John, I'm the CEO of a big and owner maybe of a medium-sized big corporation company. I got curious about this whole quote-unquote crypto space, whatever it looks like. I have jumped over my own inner fears of acknowledging that I don't know what I don't know. And I want to get started. Right. Where do I start?
So this is pretty interesting because I've given a few talks and been on a few panels, and one of the big things is, do you have a reading list or something to get up to speed? I haven't put it together yet, but let me bump that back up to the top of my priority list. Hopefully I can put it together really quickly and you can collate it to this episode. So the interesting thing is the best writing and thinking and places to understand these things are probably on Twitter and in podcasts and in talking with individuals who are in the ecosystem. And that's maybe one of the reasons why people who are not native to these things, because I think books are generally out of date. The mainstream media, it's just going to touch the very surface and it's not going to take into account a lot of other things. I wind up, and newsletters as well, I get all my information from a curated list of Substack newsletters, Twitter people that I follow, and podcasts that I think are, you know, extraordinary. I don't know if you can, if you're a CEO, if you can make a determination as to what the correct avenue of, oh, we're in, you know, we're making charcoal briquettes. Like, do we need an app that's attached to a blockchain or something? I don't think you can make that determination without putting in the work and understanding, is it more of a financial thing now and we just convert 10% of our treasury to holding Bitcoin and generate the yield on it? Or do we want to release a token, you know, the BBQ token or something? Like, there needs to be probably dozens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of research where you're listening to these podcasts and you become fluent enough to teach the other people in your organization about crypto and the landscape. I'm a person who's been pretty involved in this space for 4.5 years, and I am still surprised and learning things and don't know everything every day. So I would say I'll try to put together that crypto reading list, which hopefully gives you a starting point. And you know, you can't fake putting in the work for this kind of stuff, especially because the higher level abstractions of Internet 2.0, I think there are lots of books and key pieces that you can point to of like, okay, this is how a SaaS business works. And this is, if I want to get into this, you can paint by numbers a little bit. This stuff is still being discovered and built. I don't know if anyone plays video games, but you start off the video game and the map is completely covered by fog and you don't know how big the map is. And maybe there's a monster over there.
Talking about which, the covered in fog and also the point you just made about like it's early days, where do you think are we in terms of the maturity? Is this something where the average listener to this podcast probably should really do something about it right now? Or is it something they should get curious about? Or is it something put a little bit on the back burner because we're really in the very early days of this and it's going to be another whatever, like 5 years until it gets to the point where it gets relevant for the masses?
Maybe I'm biased, but if your goal is, I'm a CEO of a company and I want to make this company relevant for the next 5-10 years plus, I would recommend starting to investigate relatively heavily right now. Something I literally saw yesterday, there is, and I saw this on Twitter because an account that I follow retweeted it. There is a combination of biology research and NFTs. Hopefully your listeners have listened to NFTs, where they are pushing forward decentralized research where a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, now owns intellectual property and funds biotech research at a leading lab. So a year ago, you would never think like, okay, there's going to be an actual use case in 12 months for crypto to push forward biotech research. But they NFTized, they turned it into a non-fungible token, full legal IP rights and data access control via this like governance organization. This stuff is happening at an incredible pace. Again, I don't claim to know every single thing that's happening, but if you think that this is, you know, I'm in the biotech space, crypto doesn't apply to me. Well, now it does. And they raised $325,000 and given the ridiculous valuations in Andreessen Horowitz just dumping billions of dollars into this stuff, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Maybe your particular company or your particular space isn't affected by it, but it will be in less than 5 years. And maybe you have an opportunity to partner with some of these people and garner goodwill of the increasingly powerful crypto block to move forward and disrupt your own organization.
Dave, that was the perfect ending statement. This is really, really great. I could have spent hours and hours more with you getting into really the nitty gritty and the details of this. We will leave this for probably another episode. I would love to have you back. We hope to get your reading list so that, you know, folks can actually follow all this stuff. I love your notion and the grounded notion of this is going to be huge. And it's happening right now, but it's also happening in these weird, interesting ways where we do have to put the work in. I think you're right in that it feels to me like there are no shortcuts at the moment. There might be in the future when this all gets more mature, but I also think then maybe, depending who you are and where you are in the world, it might be too late for you to really play that wave in a very concise way. So Dave, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Yeah. And if anybody, any of your listeners or anybody really wants to sit down and chat, I'm always down to meet cool, ambitious people. Hit me up on Twitter at Dave Goldblatt or dave@bobcap.co is my email address.
Perfect. Fantastic. Dave, thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey, it's Pascal. Thanks for tuning in on this episode of Disrupt Disruption. If you want more, check out the other episodes we have on this podcast. Also know that this is part of an effort of us writing a book about disruption. So keep your eyes and ears peeled towards that. And if you liked it, do us a favor. Go on your podcasting platform of choice, iTunes, Google Play, whatever it is, and just like this. There's some weird algorithm thing, which, you know, if you like it, they will like us. So do me a favor, do that. And if you've got any questions, any comments, anyone I should talk to, drop us an email. Easiest email address for me to reach it is p@finet.com. With that being said, thank you so much for listening, and I will hear you here soon.